Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Thank you very much for joining today. I went down a historical rabbit hole the other day about this article about how to treat umpires, and then that led to some crazy stories of umpires in the past. Umpire quitting because they said he was gambling, umpire getting jumped by people, umpires jumping people, and just kind of the decorum of how to be an umpire. So it's a little bit different of an episode. If you've tuned in before, you know this. If you found us last week and now you're just tuning in, it's kind of a stream of consciousness show where I have some half-baked research, and then I sit down and we finish the research together, and then you guys fix all my mistakes and bumblings in the comments, and it's a nice community effort to find what we're looking for. This one's a bit different because it's not current baseball stuff, but I do like history. I like reading old baseball digests and finding articles, and then from there I have to Google every player and every instance that they're talking about. So that's what we're doing. If this is of interest to you, I can do these, you know, once a month or something like that, and then do topical the rest of the time. You guys let me know. I appreciate the comments and the feedback, and I appreciate Dan Patrick's show. This is a show on their network. If you're looking for the audio-only feed, the podcast feed, we did migrate it to its own show because we are part of the Dan Patrick network here, Jimmy's Three Things. Okay, so let's get into it. First topic is just this article, How to Annoy an Umpire by Stanley Frank from 1946. Originally posted in Collier's, and then they took it and they repurposed it in Baseball Digest. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Obviously, I kind of went through it and found the stuff I thought was interesting, like this part that gives the technique of how to annoy an umpire without getting ejected. That's what they're talking about here. And he says, the technique of telling an umpire to take a flying jump for himself is as delicate as court protocol and as well-defined as the no-smoking ordinances in public carriers. Briefly and broadly, in beefing to an umpire, the player or manager must not use profane language that can be heard by the spectators. It's a gentleman's sport. Don't let the crowd hear us talking with such speak. Two, incite the crowd with inflammatory gestures. That's still true. You don't want to show up the ump, you know? Three, make the umpire appear ridiculous. I don't really know what that means. It seems like that's the same thing as two. Four, question out loud the umpire's integrity or impartiality. Yeah, I think if you say you're biased or, you know, you're biased, choosing one side over the other, you're not being partial, you're going to get run. Any crack tending to undermine the authority of an umpire is cause for instant banishment. The rule of thumb applies when no one but the umpire hears it. Okay, so there you go. That's that. There's a little story here about doing a sale of a dog. I don't know if I should tell this. Huey Kritz, 200 hitter, stepped up to the plate. He says, tell me, you've got some mighty fine... They tell me you've got some mighty fine bird dogs. That's what he said to the ump, because the ump breeded bird dogs. How much you asking? The pitcher wound up. $150. Ball one. That's a power. I'm not going to do this. They are negotiating a dog sale during it. And afterwards, the catcher's like, well, fuck, you owe me now. And they're like, that's fine. Now this catcher gets to complain. There's some fun stories. Frankie Frisch and DeRosa, and if for some visuals, here's our guy, Pirates manager Frankie Frisch, in the dugout, just looking joyous as ever, making people laugh. I think he's got a player up here smiling, laughing, and I really appreciated this man right here, because that is living. The hat, the jacket off, the vest, that looks like the scene in Seabiscuit that I like. Okay, I tried to find some Frankie Frisch umpire shots, and I just got more of the same of him kind of like smiling, making the crowd laugh. They're all getting a kick out of this in the background. Oh boy, double hands to the mouth over here. So he seemed like a jovial manager that got under your skin, and then you got Leo DeRosa, the Dodgers manager. Lots of pictures of him. He's in baseball forever. And if you type Leo DeRosa umpire... Just so you can see this, I mean, you got pictures of him fighting with every ump around. You got fighting with that ump, a lot screaming. So these were the most notorious umpire beraters. And he said they were great at it. And he says here that you can putting the blast on the umpires with fluency and forcefulness without getting their necks in slings. So you can say something like, quote, "I'll be a lousy, no good, this and that, if that ball was over the plate." That's fine. The disputant technically is not insulting the umpire. He is cussing himself. Although even a cretin who has led a sheltered life knows he means nobody but the man in blue. But the sportsman who yelps, "You're a dirty name if the ball was a strike." "You're a dirty name if that ball was a strike." Promptly winds up talking to himself in the solitude of the clubhouse. He has made the grievous mistake of being too explicit. The art of indirection is as useful in baseball as it is in diplomatic double talk. Mustn't say the nasty word if it can be construed to the second person singular, some of whom are very singular indeed. That's the most true words ever spoken from 1946 until 2024. If you say the word you, second person singular, then you're going to get ejected. You stink. You miss that. They don't like that. They don't like that. Umpires don't like being singled out. Some other fun stuff I hear. Frisch once walked on the field with an open umbrella to signal a pitcher from the bullpen when he thought a game that he was losing, of course, should have been called on account of rain. Sounds like Frankie Frisch was a fan's manager. He was getting people smiley. They were laughing. He had a lot of fun. This was a weird one just because I did the breakdown of Boone getting ejected after the fourth pitch, or fifth pitch technically, yesterday. Mike Krivich, at the time leadoff hitter for the White Sox, was thrown out of a game by Bill McGowan in the first 2 minutes. Dykes charged the plate and demanded to know why this man was bounced. "For using bad language, offensive to a gentleman," McGowan replied. Dykes walked away slowly, wondering out loud what, for goodness sakes, was becoming of the game. McGowan turned suddenly and yelled that Dykes, too, was invited to an early bath. "What for?" Dykes demanded. "For intimidation," McGowan said resolutely. "Intimidation? You don't even know what it means." It seems to be using it wrong to me, too. And the umpire smiled in superior fashion. "I do so. It means delaying the game. That's you, out for intimidation." That sounds a lot like some of the arguments today. Umpires just excited about it all. And then, obviously, there's some managers who just are like that as well. They tell a story here. There was always trouble when Frisch and DeRosa, another intransigent character, are in the same park. Last year, 38 players were ejected from National League games, and 32 were Pirates and Dodgers. That's crazy. So, I mean, those two managers really were running people ragged. Tell a story here about how they were playing a spring training game in Cuba, and there was the ball boy named Pimento who was doing the translation when they were doing the exchanging of lineups, and DeRosa and the umpire, who they didn't speak the same language, got into a fight, and Pimento, the ball boy, had to translate. That sounds like theater to me, but apparently it was real. Did spring training game? Doesn't even matter. And then this one, another player that I hadn't really heard of, his name is Johnny Evers. Says, "No ball player in recent years has approached the hysteria of Johnny Evers, the old Cubs second baseman who drove everyone crazy with his perpetual griping. More than once, Chance, his manager, actually choked him on the field to make him pipe down." Let's take a look at Johnny. Skinny dude, credited with this quote where he said, "My favorite umpire is a dead one." I don't know if that's a real quote, but wild. That's what comes up when you Google his name, not like his baseball acumen or his skills, just that. He was real skinny. Real skinny. Open image in new tab. Look at this. Look at that bat. Look how thick that bat is, and look how big his ears are. And that glove. What a weird sport. Look at that bat. That had to be so heavy. It literally looks like a piece of lumber. which they were. This guy good. Johnny Evers, baseball reference. Tell me he's a Hall of Famer, and I got people mad at me right now. You don't know Johnny? Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, 3 times world champ. So maybe I do have people. Evers, my bad. Nicknamed Crab or Trojan. Johnny Evers, that's my bad. So I pissed people off two ways there. How do you not know about Johnny Evers? You're saying his name wrong, doing a show about baseball history, and you're such a piece of shit. Whoa. Chill out, guys. MVP in 1914. Where he had a 728 OPS, 113 OPS plus, 279 batting average, 390 on base. Good for him. Never led the league in any category besides MVP votes that one year. Good stuff, Johnny Evers. Sorry, I didn't know your name. Apparently he was a dickhead, though, to umpires. The owner of the Cubs, Charlie Murphy, at the peak of their power, offered Evers a new suit if he went 2 weeks without getting the heave from an umpire. He never even came close. That's kind of crazy. I mean, there's a lot of weeks in a baseball season. Couldn't go 2 weeks without getting ejected. Sounds like he had a temper. Sounds like it was a problem. All right, story number two that I got from this article. Topic number two. Umpire's name is Bill Clem. Looks like this, which is a funny picture of a guy. Kind of bug-eyed. And then we got this, which is hilarious. Looks like the old man from Pleasantville. In the TV. The guy who talks like that. But his name is Bill Clem, and apparently he's one of the best umpires who ever lived. It says here, the best umpire who ever lived. He resigned. He resigned due to John J. McCaw, who was just rude in this game. So this article said, that late in the season, the Giants lost a game to the Cubs on a decision by Clem at home, which went against them. When the Cardinals nosed out the Giants for the pennant, McGraw needled Charlie Stoneham, his owner, into preferring charges against Clem on the grounds that he bet on horses. So they were like, this dude bet on horses. He probably bet on the game. He ruined our season. Let's charge him. And then, so the manager was like fucking pissed. And the owner was about to do it, but then Landis, commissioner, was like, shut up, guys. Just shut up. So that kind of got my interest. I was like, wait, pause. I'm going to stop reading this article. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole and find this out. I went to the 1928 game logs for the New York Giants, and I found a game against the Cubs at the end of the season. And then I found this where it's got the and H, and that means they protested this game. So then Thursday, September 27th, box score, they lost and they protested it. So I went to the archives, and you can find articles on it, but I went to the archives and I wanted to see what they were saying at that time. So I found the New York Times newspaper from September 28th, 1928. And so this is the day after, fresh in everyone's brain. And, let me see how much I can zoom in. Seems like that's it. Giants protest bitterly. Umpire Clem refused to honor the claim of interference, and the Giants protested bitterly that Hartnett, not having the ball, should have stepped aside and given Reese the right of way. They just updated this rule in the game today, kind of. So what happened here is the Giants yielded valuable ground yesterday in the National League. They lost the doubleheader. The Giants have officially protested the first game on the ground that umpire Bill Clem should have ruled interference on the part of Gabby Hartnett in a rundown between third and home in the sixth inning. Men were on second and third. There was one out. The ball was hit right back to the pitcher. He threw it to third base, and they got Reese, the runner, in a rundown. So Reese is running him home, and he's about to throw it to the catcher. He's pump faking maybe, and the catcher is standing, straddling the line, up above, waiting for the throw from Reese in the rundown, and never gets the ball thrown to him. The runner, Reese, has to try and go around the catcher who's standing in the way, slips and falls, and then is tagged out, and the umpire says, you're out. And they're like, hey, I think he actually ran into the catcher because they said there was a photo of the catcher holding the runner. And then they never overturned it. So, that play and then the gambling allegations made the best umpire that ever lived, Bill Clem, retire, which is messed up. This play, I was like, this has happened before. This is the exact play in modern times, if you needed a visual. This is Milwaukee Brewers, Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, it's just a snap throw to first because the runner thought was going, and then everyone moves. Okay, so now they have the runner in a rundown. So this is the same situation, and the catcher is waiting for the ball, and it's not getting thrown, and now the runner has to run around him, which slows him down, and the umpire, Joe West, says, obstruction, that's a run. And Diaz, the catcher, is like, what? So this happened. So that's the same thing that happened in 1946 or whatever it was. Look at that. We're watching history right now. This is just a recreation of history, although it didn't go the runner's way, Giants' way back then, and the runner was out. And different, he fell down because he ran into the catcher, so even more egregious. So that story interested me, and I felt bad for Clem for having to retire because, I mean, look at him. Oh, that's not him. That's Johnny Evers. Look at him. Big eyes. Silly guy. Hey, is that the same guy? Younger here? Older here? Such a good picture. Who took that picture? What a great picture. It's like an umpire picture. So, old protest. Giants, who played in that game? Let's go find the box score and see how many fun names there are. Got to be a lot. All right, first names in this box score between the Giants and the Cubs in September of 1946. Correct? Did I have that right? 28. Jimmy, be smarter. The article's from 46. Woody, Freddie, Kiki, Hack, Riggs, Charlie, Gabby, Clyde, and Art. Some good names. Charlie Grimm, Woody English, Hack Wilson. On the New York Giants, you had first names only. Jimmy, Andy, Les, Freddie, Shanty, Travis, Bill, Andy, Carl. Those are pretty common. Pitching for both teams, Art Neff, Carl Hubble, and Jack Scott. Umpire, home plate, Bill Clem. Time of game, 1 hour and 42 minutes. Attendance, not given. Field condition, unknown. Start time weather, unknown. No pickoffs. One hit by pitch. Art hit Shanty. So that was a rabbit hole I went down that now you guys have gone down with me. Okay? Now this next rabbit hole, if we go back to the original article, is more fun. But actually, I have an aside. A quick aside before we go to topic three. In this little aside in Baseball Digest, they say, before the first game of the 1951 World Series, photographers had the opposing managers, Leo Durocher, and the, am I saying Durocher? Is it Durocher, like you're from the East Coast, or is it Durocher? To me, Durocher sounds real weird, and I keep saying it like that because it's phonetically correct. Durocher sounds way more better, but is that an accent thing or a reading thing? How many people am I getting mad here? Of the Giants and Casey Stengel, just joking, Casey Stengel of the Yankees, they went through all kinds of gymnastics for these photographers. Finally, they had them hugging each other. No, roared a chunky operator holding a very big camera. I want you to kiss him, Leo. Kiss him, kiss him. I tell you. What? So the photographers are trying to get the two managers of the World Series to kiss for a photo shoot. That's out, Leo cried. Leo, that's out. It's out of bounds. We're not doing that. Okay, then you kiss him, Casey. Okay, Casey, you kiss Leo if Leo's not going to kiss you. What's happening here? The photographer roared, and then said, we got to get something different. We got to get something different. So the photographers are like, you're doing the same thing over and over again. Why don't you guys kiss? What's this about? Stengel said, you want the commissioner after us? You come up here and kiss the mug. I'll take your picture. So that was the weirdest paragraph I read in a while. And then I went to Getty Images. Do I have this anywhere? I went to Getty Images because I was like, do they have that? If they were taking photos, we should have it. I found this one, which is the scene. They're hugging here. It says, managers Casey Stengel and Leo Durocher shown hugging before first game, cameraman shown in background. So everyone's laughing, and it looks like this is they were hugging, and then they're being told to kiss, and everyone's laughing. What? That's out. That's out. We're not kissing. Weird. Looks like they got closer to kissing after the World Series in this photo. Yeah, this is closer. Got what they wanted. The next part of the main article that I was like, what? I want to know more about that, which is thing number three today, is where'd it go? I miss you so. Seems like you've been gone. Oh, it's right here. Highlighted it in red. Last July 19th at Cincinnati, a fan sitting in a box devoted the afternoon to caustic criticism of Majorkerth's talents and breeding. Mr. Majorkerth is a large man. So that's the umpire, George Majorkerth. I think they called him Mage or Mag. Mag? Majorkerth? Majorkerth? 245 pounds, 6 foot four. And he was a boxer. He had reasonable patience, but enough was too much. Enough was too much. I've never seen that. Enough was enough, I would say. But enough was too much, they wrote. He went over to the box and punched the fan's nose. That is something you're not going to see, I don't think. Just the umpire just walking behind home plate. There's a doubleheader, too. So this dude was on it for 18 innings straight. Just walked to the crowd and just bam, right in the nose. I'm a socky one. Boom. It presently developed in court that in socking one Thomas J. Longo, a Dayton restaurant man and former boxing referee, and Majorkerth was a boxer, Majorkerth was in grave embarrassment and error. He had picked on the wrong man. Longo did not prefer charges, but Frick fined Majorkerth $100 for conduct unbecoming a gentleman and or sportsman. Two different things, gentleman and sportsman. And his conduct wasn't becoming of either of those. But collections promptly were taken in Dayton bars with which to pay the fine. We feel a great injustice has been done to the good old George, the spokesman for the Fair Play explained. So they were supporting the umpire. So that dude was named Thomas J. Longo, a Dayton restaurant man. People must have hated that guy. The whole town, like his town, Dayton. They were like, no. It's about time someone punched Longo. Dude sucks. This restaurant's not even good. All the bars got together. Maybe there's like a little bit of a rivalry there. And they paid the fine. So I had to go look into that story a little bit, see if there's anything more in the news article. And I found the news article. This is the Tulane Times or something like that. And it doesn't give much more. It just says battery charge faces umpire for fighting heckler. George Majorkerth, National League umpire, today faces charges of assault and battery as a result of an altercation with a spectator last night at the end of a doubleheader ballgame between the Cincinnati Reds and the Boston Braves. The deputy was there. Longo admitted heckling Majorkerth during the games. Charged that the umpire came after him as soon as the second game was over and began swinging. Majorkerth declined to comment. So that's all I found there. But by Googling Majorkerth, the umpire, I found out about a story where this picture took place, where a fan attacked him. Maybe you've heard about this. Pretty nuts. And obviously there's been fans that have run on the field even in recent times attack people, but this one's kind of wild. So there was a play where the guy bobbled it at second base and it was originally called this. And then the umpires got together and asked Majorkerth for help and he overturned the call and DeRocher was pissed and he was screaming and yelling and it was a big delay. And then this guy ran on the field after the game and he was yelling and screaming at the umpire and they were giving each other shit. And then eventually he jumped him. His name was Frank Germano, an unemployed youth of 21 who lives at 128 33rd Street, Brooklyn. Damn, just straight up gave his address out on the newspaper. That's crazy. He was arrested after the fight and taken to the 71st Precinct. Germano, that's a different spelling than before. Germano was held in $500 bail in Brooklyn, Queens, after court for hearing today on simple charge. You got to wait till you see the picture of this dude. He blindsided the umpire. Mag, as he was affectionately called, was a former heavyweight boxer. Germano is also lucky that Mag refused to press charges. You know, we don't press charges here. It's America. Look at this dude. He got to be 5 foot nothing. Shirt ripped. That is a hilarious body of a man. 21 years old. The accent on him had to be so thick. So I kept digging into this to see what more there is. There's some pictures. This is him like on top of him. This is him the next day at court in his, well, Guinea tea. I don't mean to be offensive, but that's what I grew up knowing them as. Looking great. I think he likes the way he looks there a whole bunch. Frank Germano was stunned. He knew the runner was out. Just as the last Dodger was put out, Frank stood up on his seat, yelled, "Burglar! Burglar!" Rushed out on the field, swung on Major Kurth, tripped him, started to pummel his face. It's crazy. It's insane. Look at this dude. 21 years old. Just full of angst. Someone found this fan. The umpire died at 77, and it's a very thoughtful eulogy, but there's another picture of the altercation starting where they're standing, which I thought was interesting. So it started standing up. Then I found an article from, I don't even know when this was posted. It's in this archives of Sports Illustrated. Okay, well, he was 21. Okay, so it says here that Frankie Germano is 77 now. So when did this happen? This happened in 1940. So 77 minus 21. We can all do that. We're good at math. 56 years later, 40 plus 56, 96. Yeah, okay. So this article is from 1996 where they found Frankie Germano, 77. And I wanted to read this article when I saw it so bad. He's hurting. He's got cancer now. That's sad stuff, but he's hurting. They have him recount this as a 77-year-old man. How's he feel about it now, right? The same way, basically. He said, "I was a real fan, a Dodger fan." And he's talking about he reversed the call. Major Kurth called the guy safe, Germano complains. "He should have been out. There was a big stink. It lasted 15 minutes. DeRosa came out, kicking dirt and everything. I was a DeRosa man. Wherever DeRosa went, I went. When he got mad, I got mad." DeRosa gets thrown out. Cincinnati wins the game. "Now I'm mad. I'm burning. I jump down to the field, and I'm walking out towards the clubhouse where the Dodgers go. Who walks right in front of me? The ump. I say, 'Hey, George, why don't you go back to the minor leagues? You're a bum.' He called me a name. I called him a name. He made like he was going to push me out of the way. I thought he was going to hit me. I started throwing punches, right hooks, uppercuts. Then I thought, hey, this guy's too big for me. I'm going to sit on him. So I did." And that's just a great story. He did sit on him. I think this is him sitting on him here and then punching him. So those are some rabbit holes I went down. And we'll get back to topical analysis, but I like history. And If this picture of, is his name Frankie Germano, doesn't make you laugh, I don't know. Maybe you look like him and now you're mad at me. I'd feel bad about that. That was Jimmy's Three Things. Leave a comment. Let me know if you have anything on your team you want me to look into stats-wise or any weird things around the league you think are going on. Just like put in the comments like, hey, topic idea or suggestion, and I'll search it. And then we'll keep going. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't and you want to. That helps us out. Appreciate you guys. See ya. Thank you. Goodbye. Bud Selig, thumbs up.